Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show on this November 10th, 2023. Happy birthday to the United States Marines on their birthday today. Special guest in studio today on the Up Close Show is Town Manager Curtis Yakima and Mayor Rick Dennison from the town of Yucca Valley. So we're going to talk about what's happening in the town, what's coming up, what they're doing. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and our phone number for you, call us 760-366-8471. I'm Gary Danielle, and good morning, Curtis and Rick. Delighted to have you here on the Z1077 Up Close Show.
Morning, Gary. Great
to be
here.
Good morning, Gary.
Yeah, the mics work. That's a good thing. So
we're doing good.
Yeah, so a lot going on in the town. It was. I told you when you got here, I made kind of a list of the subjects I want to talk about, and I probably have about a three-hour show planned here. So we'll do the best we can to get a lot of information in. But what I'd like to do is focus on some things that people probably don't quite understand how they work and that kind of stuff. And the number one thing is one of my pet peeves is people who assume that it, the town or the city, but whoever the municipal government is, decides what businesses goes where. So that's why Curtis Yakima gets constant phone calls demanding why he is not putting a Trader Joe's into Yucca Valley. But it doesn't quite work that way. What is the process by which a business comes into Yucca Valley? How is that decision made on what business it will be and where it will go?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's the choice of the business, right? They're going to come in where they can make money, and we understand that. But
so the town doesn't say, Trader Joe's, you will open in Yucca Valley.
No, we can't make them open.
Yeah.
But there is definitely opportunities. You know, in our community livability survey that we did this year, the residents told us, they said, hey, look, we're always looking for new places to shop or new places to eat, and that's important to us. And so there are steps that the town can do. We go to trade shows like the International Shopping Center Convention, other types of activities like that, and we can outreach to those companies and say, hey, look at the opportunity here. Look at our trade market. Is this something that might make sense for you? And ultimately, if it does make sense for them, then it comes, right? Like we had Quick Quack Car Wash just opened up. We have Black Bear Diner just opened up. And so we're super excited about those new businesses making investments in Yucca Valley.
Well, I've gone to both of them since they opened. Halloween night, my wife and I were helping our grandkids trick-or-treat and then went over to Black Bear Diner. It was packed. We got served within 15 minutes. Food was good. Nice folks. Reasonable prices. Can't complain. It's good stuff.
Yeah, terrific to
see
these.
And then yesterday I got my Quick Quack Car Wash. So
I was there this morning, Quick Quack. They were very nice. Open early. It was before 8 o'clock. Yeah. And I'm an early riser. Same thing with Blackberry. Went there, enjoyed my time. Very good establishment. And I think it was well received by the community. I'd like to also just mention real quick, just a happy Veterans Day to all of our current and past vets. And wish them a great day.
And Yucca Valley's doing a Veterans Day commemoration, I believe, at the Senior Center tomorrow?
Yeah, breakfast, 8:30 to 10:30 at our Senior Center for any veteran plus one. And hopefully they can come and celebrate with others. And we'll be walking around saying hi to everybody. It'll be a terrific time.
So we talked about the two new businesses that are in town. But again, I'm going to go back to the process. So the business, well, whatever their marketing survey, for some reason decides that they want to examine opening in Yucca Valley. What is the process they go through?
Typically, they'll do a business model. They'll look at your trade area. And then they have their own internal metrics of what it would take to be successful in our area. So, for example, for municipalities, one of the holy grails is Costco, right? Oh my gosh, we'd love to have a Costco up here, but their trade area is about 300,000 that have to be within a half hour of their store.
So they determine what the market
base is. Absolutely. And then they have median income of what they're looking for their typical resident or their typical customer that might come in. So they go down the checklist, and if it makes sense for them, then they'll make that investment. If it doesn't, they'll say, you know what? Thank you very much, but it doesn't make quite sense for us yet.
But the process for the town is if I want to open a business and I want to build a business, then that design must be approved by the Planning Commission. Is that correct?
Typically, it depends on what they're building. If it's new construction, yes, normally that would be required. If it's a remodel, it might be a little bit different process.
Yeah. So, if I'm opening a bookstore in a building that was a bookstore, I really don't need to do anything except move in and bring in books.
Pretty straightforward if it's existing use or historical use. Yes.
If it's changed use, then they have to get what's called a conditional use permit. How does that work?
Again, it depends. Okay. Excuse me. It can require a conditional use permit. It might be site plan review. There's different types of regulatory authorities and regulations that would govern depending on what the application is and where the facility is at, whether it's existing or new construction.
Okay. So I just wanted to get that straight because, again, that's one of the common misnomers that the town decides what's going to be built and where. It's not. It's that business, that individual business.
The requirements,
They're making the investment of their money. So they are the ones who are applying to put their business.
Yeah, and you know, our town council has given staff direction to continue to be as business friendly as we can. Sometimes when we talk to businesses, they may want to do something, and sometimes the answer is no, depending on what it is that they want to do. And sometimes that's not always well received. We understand that, but at the same time, our council is pushing us at a staff level to be as open and transparent and business friendly as possible and work people through those types of issues that they're going to have to deal with.
And all those requirements, all those regulations from the Planning Commission, that's all pre-published. You can study it. They don't make it as they go along.
That's basically correct.
Yeah. When there's a sign out and someone's looking for some type of business to possibly be coming to our community, all of that is open. You know, it all goes through the Planning Commission. It's all agendized. People would know way ahead of time of what actually is going at that location. Sometimes it may be anonymous a little bit, but they'll know a business is looking at a site. And we've seen that in the area. Oh, a little bit closer?
A little closer.
Is that better?
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so it is always a public record. It's always agendized. You have a lot of opportunities to voice your opinion formally at any of the Planning Commission meetings and even, again, at the council meetings. And very important is you can reach out to any of the council members, primarily the one in your own district, and voice your thoughts and concerns.
So anything interesting coming down the pike now that we've got those two businesses open? Anything in the planning stages that we may soon see some action on?
We have a number of businesses that are always looking at the town as a possibility. As you know, we have Starbucks West that's identified the old Burger King site there, and so pretty excited about that. That's already gone through Planning Commission.
Yucca Valley is going to be a two Starbucks town.
That's right. Two Staters, two Del Taco, two Starbucks.
That's a pretty amazing thing when you think about it.
Yeah.
But anybody that's been to one of the Starbucks in Yucca Valley knows how busy it is, and so I think that will be a welcome business for sure.
What is the status of In-N-Out? I hear rumors that they're not coming. They are coming. They're waiting for sewer. They're not waiting for sewer. And you may not even know the answer to that because it's been going on for a long time. But what is the current status of getting an In-N-Out in Yucca Valley?
So they had owned property for many years at the intersection of 247 and 62. The last time that we had engaged with them, they had originally, like you said, Gary, they indicated, well, we're waiting for sewers. We let them know when the sewers were available. Their response then was, our metrics aren't being met yet with that site. So it's our understanding.
Not enough market base for them.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
It's our understanding that they still own the property, and that's on the northeast corner of 247 and 62. It's interesting because Yucca Valley is a unique community in that we really haven't had substantial resident growth. So our population growth has been about less than 2% a year. We're at about 21,500 full-time residents, and that has not really changed for like 10 years. It's gone up, down a couple hundred, but not significant change. What is interesting is that our traffic volumes are quite heavy during the day. But around 7:30 at night, it dies off pretty substantially. And so when businesses are coming in to look, like an In-N-Out or another type of eatery, an Olive Garden or something like that, they're going to look at, you know, what kind of business can we do for dinner business from 6 to 10, as you might have down the hill or in other populated communities. If Yucca Valley is relatively low volume between the hours of 8 and 10, that's prime dining time. in more populated areas. And so that makes it difficult for the businesses. And I think that's why we see the mix of businesses that we have. Occasionally, we'll have one or two that do really well because they are invested and they've made it. But having multiple of the same types in an industry is difficult in that restaurant industry.
So to be fair to say that In-N-Out owns a property but is kind of waiting for Yucca Valley to catch up to the wait for Yucca Valley to grow up a little bit?
I think they're waiting for traffic volumes that would support, you know, In-N-Out. One of the beauties of In-N-Out is they're open till, I think most of them are open till 1 at night.
Right.
Right? You can imagine in Yucca Valley how busy they're going to be from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., probably not very busy compared to others in more populated areas. And I think that's probably really what's driving their analysis when they look at it.
Well, thank you. Once again, we set a lot of rumors aside, and the decision to not build In-N-Out is made by In-N-Out, and they're simply waiting for there to be a little bit more market base before they make that investment. So,
and thank you for letting us talk about that a little bit, because it is the source of a lot of, you know, online posts of why this isn't occurring in our community, because even myself and Curtis too, I'm assuming, would love to go have In-N-Out for lunch or go to Trader Joe's or those other businesses as much as our
local. You're not going to put in your own Trader Joe's, Rick? Come on.
Too many irons in the fire.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's the answer. It's not, again, it's not up to the town. I wanted to touch on that because it's something that comes up a lot. The town has made a couple of adjustments to things, and I want to talk about the statues of the Black Bear Diner and the Sinclair Dinosaur. Those were not permitted uses of advertising. The statues were, in essence, advertising. But the Planning Commission took a look at that and made some adjustments.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, the mayor just mentioned social media, and that one was funny. In fact, in my office, I have a green dinosaur in my window. It was just so funny to watch that whole conversation go forward, because the story on social media was, hey, the town of Yucca Valley made the green dinosaur go away, and how evil is the town, and everybody jumps on that.
What's wrong with that town? Don't they like green dinosaurs?
But we get that, and we understand that goes with the territory. The reality, of course, is much more nuanced than that, right? Yeah. So we never said that your dinosaur has to go. We simply said your dinosaur is part of your signage package, and your signage package needs to be in compliance with town regulations.
Bingo.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they chose to move their dinosaur instead of modifying other signage. But importantly, I think the input from the community in those types of events is still important, because what it told the elected officials was, hey, maybe it's time for us to go back and look at branding mascots in this case and see if there might be a different way that we can treat those that would support businesses that want to come into Yucca Valley or existing businesses. And really, that's an important point, because it's never town staff that determines what regulations we're going to do.
They're already in place by
the town council. Yeah. And so if we need to revise them, then the town council needs to do that. So that's really our choice, is we either enforce what's on the books or we change it. And that would be at the discretion and the pleasure of the town council. Yeah. So they gave the direction to the Planning Commission.
And the Baron Dinosaurs, you know, that's kind of what we call it in town, Baron Dinosaurs. It was really quick. But the town council received a lot of input on that. And what came out of it was our desire to become more compliant with what the retail businesses wanted in our community. So we heard them loud and clear. We looked at the development code. It hadn't been changed for 10 years in 2014. And so it was time for a refresh. Planning Commission took it under their belt to do. They worked with staff. Staff developed new signage, and we were able to move forward with those types of monuments and mascots.
So what is the status right now of monuments and mascots?
So good question. Yes. We're not certain if the green dinosaur is going to reappear. It may evolve again. It may not. But the bears at Black Bear Diner likely will be brought in as an application to bring them back in under different criteria now, as more of a landscaping treatment. So excited. The council still needs to take final action on those guidelines, but their Planning Commission has finished their work on it, and that's how things change, and that's how modifications are made and towns develop over time.
And what is the status right now of having a mural on your building if you have a commercial store?
So very similar to the guidelines that we were just talking about on branding mascots, the Planning Commission, Town Council went through and updated their mural regulations. And there's a path forward now. The person would come in and apply for a mural. I believe we have a review from our Parks, Recreation, Cultural Commission on the content and on the design. And then it gets approved, and the individual can go ahead and move forward with that project.
But it's actually gotten easier to do that now, and there is a process for approval.
Yeah, I think the guidelines are clear,
yeah,
and it makes it a little bit more predictable for the business owner to know what they can or cannot do.
And well, unlike, you know, a lot of things go through the Planning Commission, and this one through the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Commission, they're more into the art side of that, and that's generally what murals are. They're telling a story. They're trying to be attractive for the community as a whole, but also represent the business well. The difference was is that signage is signage, and murals are generally a little bit more of a storyboard. And that was really the breakout, and I think the PPRC did a great job on it.
So you just didn't want the store's business shouldn't necessarily – the sign for the business shouldn't necessarily be the building. It should be a separate thing.
And that was kind of the direction that we took.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we want clear signage, you know, really for the customers. When things get too much going on, it gets sometimes confusing. So to be fair to all the businesses, this policy was broken into pieces again, so each one could be addressed individually. Just as we talked about mascots, murals, and then signage. They're three different pieces.
So again, the town adjusted accordingly as it needed to.
I think we've gotten in a really good spot, and we've gotten good feedback from the community and especially the businesses. So we're now going to be able to move forward. You know, one of the things I've always loved in our basin is the beautiful murals in 29 Palms. You know, that's something that was done very well, and we're looking to kind of follow those leads to make sure it's something that people enjoy.
All right. There is a little more whimsy coming to Yucca Valley. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But first, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z107.7 Up Close Show with Town Manager Curtis Yakima and Mayor Rick Dennison from the town of Yucca Valley right after these brief messages.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
You've heard Think Global, Eat Local. Well, you can't get any more local than with the bounty of fresh fruits and vegetables you'll find every Saturday at the Joshua Tree Certified Farmers Market. Feel a sense of community when you spend your Saturday in Joshua Tree. There are many artisanal products, too. While you're there, stop at JT Health Foods, your informed mind, healthy body connection. They even carry a large selection of organic wines and microbrews and food for your pet. JT Health Foods, open every day for your well-being. Joshua Tree's the place to be.
It is 10:24. I'm Gary Dignot, the host of the Z107.7 Up Close Show. Our guests in studio today, the town manager, Curtis Yakima, and the mayor, Rick Dennison, from the town of Yucca Valley. We're going to make something clear that we've done every single time I've had somebody on the show. Okay, Rick, what's the difference between a town and a city? We got the town of Yucca Valley and the city of 29 Palms. What's the difference?
Doesn't town just roll off your tongue?
Yeah, yeah.
So really, anymore there's not. Originally there were, and right now I believe there's two towns in the county of San Bernardino. You have the town of Apple Valley and the town of Yucca Valley, and it's really more of a formality to identify yourself and break yourself out from the word city. I would consider it not much different than Joshua Tree using the village.
Yeah. So there is legally no difference at all between a town and a city.
Nope.
No.
Same form of government, same set of rules, everything else. It's just what they call it.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And you know what? Our residents, that was another thing that came up in our community livability survey, was one of the things that people like is, and that they would like the town of Yucca Valley to continue to focus on is, supporting and fostering the small hometown feel.
Yeah, the rural character was the reason the original incorporators of Yucca Valley went with town. They wanted to try to keep the rural character.
And I think it's done that when you hear it, especially if you've never been here. I think you just envision that. And we're kind of in line with Pioneer Town, but that's one word. But it is the same kind of feeling, you know, a little bit more of a rural area.
Back to more about everything you want to know about Yucca Valley, but never had a chance to ask. There are some new things that are happening in the town. One of them is a requirement by the state of California for organics recycling. There's been a lot of buzz about it, but it hasn't quite hit the public yet. How is that going to change the routine for the normal resident of Yucca Valley?
I should have had Jessica on our show, who's our staff member on that. But in general, look, the state has very aggressive regulatory requirements. And these are requirements that are intended from the state's perspective to address climate change. Whether we agree with that or not, that makes no difference. The town is under mandate from the state under threat of fines, daily fines. And so our obligation is to implement those programs for all of our residents and businesses. So at the end of the day, the biggest change that our residents will see is the addition of another bucket. It's going to be a green container for green waste and organics. The resident will also be able to have a little bucket that they can have in their house to put in food waste, scraps, things like that.
Compost.
Yeah, and then we'll have basically another daily trip that will pick up those containers. So that for Yucca Valley is going to go into effect by the end of January. We'll have all of those cans, new cans deployed, and that route implemented.
So BIRTEC is going to be taking the lead physically taking the cans?
Yes, it'll be just another can. So instead of having two right now, residents have a recycle bin and they have a trash bin. They'll have a third bin, which will be for green waste and organics.
And how much is that going to raise my trash bill and if I live in Yucca Valley?
So our trash bills is set by BIRTEC, not necessarily set by the town of Yucca Valley. They're a franchise hauler. On average, rates went up about 24% for the current year, which is significant.
And that's paying for the organic waste.
That's paying for the organics. Yeah. We knew that this was coming, though. For the last 3 years, we've been talking about it. We have pressed BIRTEC, and over the last 3 years, our rate increases were very minimal. In fact, the last 2 years, we had no rate increase. And so understanding that once organics came online, it was going to be significant. And it is additional costs. It's additional equipment for the waste hauler. It's additional cans. It's additional routes, additional labor, all of that to implement these state-mandated programs.
And when will we start seeing that one more trash can to go along with the other two?
So for Yucca Valley residents, it'll be in the month of January. It'll be rolled out in January. And so we have a number of different educational opportunities. In fact, yesterday we had a live webinar, for residents that they could participate and learn about the program. That was hosted by Jessica, our senior management analyst, and BIRTEC. And they'll be doing another one in, I believe, December. And then I think either in December or January, we're actually having a live food waste demonstration at the community center that will be live streamed. So really cool opportunities for people to learn about the program, what to do, what not to do. And again, that will be launched in January of 24.
Okay, and that's that affects the town of Yucca Valley.
Yes,
actually, but it is applied to the entire state of California.
Yeah, I know.
But for us, with BIRTEC,
29 Palms is starting to gear up for it now.
But, yeah, and you know, one of the things that a lot of the public doesn't know is that there's a lot of back end on this. You know, the organic waste that's being collected in our community because of the methane that is released in our landfills due to this. The back end is a huge back end where these organic digesters, where this waste is going to go, it breaks it down into organic matter that is more like compost. And, you know, we've heard about composting since we were kids.
Right.
A lot of folks did it.
I have a fairly sophisticated composting operation at my home. I have a chipper shredder. So all the waste from cuttings from bushes and stuff goes in the chipper shredder along with the kitchen stuff. And So I called when this first came in, and I said, well, I already compost. Am I still going to be required to do this? And they said, yes. It's not instead of, it'll be in addition to. So on that, we're going to go to the phones because Jody has a question about trash. And Jody, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah. And your comment today, Jody?
Hey, I got a question. You were talking, the guys were talking about how the green waste barrels are going to go into Yucca Valley.
Right.
I was wondering when... Is that going to be including Joshua Tree, or is that going to be a different monster?
That's a good question. And Don Rao will be a guest on this show December 1st, Jody, and you can call her up and ask her that question. So it's going to be implemented in the town of Yucca Valley, Curtis said, starting in January. I know 29 Palms is just starting to gear up. As far as the county area, I'm not sure, so we'll check with Don.
Yeah, it's the same franchise waste hauler, but their time frame may be a little bit different.
So you, it's
yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It's coming, okay, but we'll see how soon.
All right, I'll just wait and talk to Donnell.
Thank, and Jody, nice to hear from you.
Right on, Gary. Yeah, right. I've been going through several surgeries, so.
Well, hang in there, brother.
Right on, man. Hey, I'm still here.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. That's Jody from Joshua Tree. Yeah, we're talking about the organic trash, and it's coming. It's just maybe it's not the same time. So the county works on a slightly different time schedule. So, and we are going to have Don to talk about that. Another thing there's been a change about, and that is the regulations on marijuana in the town of Yucca Valley. And I want to go back to what Curtis said. The state tells the town you have to do this. The town can't say, oh, no, we're not going to, because they back it up with fines. So what is the current status of marijuana in Yucca Valley? I know that you had to adjust an ordinance to comply with a state requirement.
So for marijuana regulations in California, they kind of classify them by, they call them licenses, and there's just a variety of different licenses. Each license type deals with a different aspect of marijuana. So, for example, you can have a license type for a retail storefront. You could have a license for delivery operations, cultivation, industrial use, etc. The town of Yucca Valley, all licenses are prohibited. And that's been since the legalization of marijuana, both for medical and recreational use. Over the years, the state has begun to advance their goal of having access to marijuana. And so one of their changes is going into effect in January of 2024, which basically says that if there is a delivery operation in town, they are able to have a delivery building in your town.
But it's not open to the public.
It's not a storefront.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the change. We don't anticipate a significant demand yet for that, although there has been some inquiries. And we, you know, quite frankly, we know that deliveries happen. Most of them right now probably coming from Desert Hot Springs. They happen. That's not prohibited. People can get their marijuana delivered. Along those lines, though, you know, one of the actions that we ask the council to consider is, hey, the council always wants to hear from the public on where they're at on any given issue, including marijuana. And so one of the things that we talked about was, you know, at some point it may make sense for the town to survey our residents to know, hey, what's important to you? Do you still want to have a prohibition? Because that issue was taken to our voters two different times, and both times on both issues, the voters said we're not interested. So the council respected that. But as times change, maybe people's either views change, or you have a different population base now. And so the council, I think, was open to the idea at some point of saying, hey, let's go back out to the residents, ask them, hey, what's important to you? Is access important to you? If it is, what are your concerns? Location, security, odor, all of those different types of things that may wrap around that industry. Or alternatively, the community may still say, you know what, we have no interest in this. People can get it delivery if they want, and otherwise we don't want it.
Is there going to be an outreach on that, or is it just let us know? Or
at the right time, I think we would go out and do something that basically a statistically valid survey of our residents. So that would give the council the guidance of, hey, where are your residents and what's important to them?
Okay, we got another caller coming in. We'll go right to it. And Daniel, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yes, I had a quick question about the, is there a revised timeline for the opening of the new and improved dog parks at the Epic Park?
Well, good morning, Daniel. That was, we were just talking about that this morning, and I personally went by there to the Essex Dog Park in Yucca Valley to look at the progress.
Yeah.
And we do have an updated timeline on that, and we're very excited about it. We'll be having a treat-filled event at 8:30 in the morning on the 21st of this month. So November 21st, 8:30 in the morning. We'll be looking forward to all the dogs in our community bringing their humans with them and having a good time. I know staff has really planned a good celebration, and we hope that you can join us.
That is going to be a super, super, super exciting day. We know that there's many people that are thrilled to do it. We've made some expansion of the small dog park. We rehabilitated the large dog park. We have additional sidewalks, walking areas there in the recreational area, so a completely different look. Added lighting in it as well for nighttime use up to certain hours. And so it's super exciting for the entire community.
All right, Danny, what kind of dog you got?
I actually have a new puppy. It's a lab mix, so we'll be using the large dog park eventually. But then I have a little, like, Chihuahua Italian Greyhound mix. And she's been using the small dog park for some time and anxious to get back in there.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Danielle. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye now.
The 21st.
Yeah. That's what they said. Okay.
Correct.
Thanks. All right. One other thing that has also been changing, and where are we now, is the situation with Joshua Trees in the town of Yucca Valley. Yucca Valley kind of getting the short end of the stick on that state requirement because so much private property here have existing Joshua trees, and that is now stifling people who, you know, want to do development or improvement on their home. So as of right now, what's the deal with Joshua trees?
So the Western Joshua Tree Conservation Act was passed and adopted, and all regulation is handled by the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Sacramento. The good news is there is a predictable path for homeowners that need to address Joshua trees in their property, whether it is to trim them, to remove a dead one, or to potentially remove or take a live one, transplant it, whatever the case may be, for any type of development
that they have. There is a process.
There is a process, and the to the credit of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, they've established a pretty comprehensive website, number one, that will identify the path forward. And it's our understanding that those that have used it, and of course, there's a mitigation fee that needs to be paid if you're going to take a tree. They've been able to navigate that without a whole lot of difficulty.
So if I have a property in Yucca Valley and say I want to add a bedroom to my home, but I can't right now because there's a Joshua tree there, I can go to this website and get permission to remove it. Or if I have a limb fall off, I can get permission to move that.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. And what is the cost of those permits? Does it change, or does it depend on the use, or what's it going to cost me to move that Joshua tree?
So it depends just on a couple of things. Number one, it depends on your proximity to the Joshua Tree National Park, so where you're at in Yucca Valley. I believe if you're within 2 miles, it's one rate schedule. If you're outside of 2 miles from the border, then it's a different rate schedule. Typically, the rates are going to range from $200. I think the maximum rate is $2,500, and that would be for the tall tree close to the park.
Okay, so that website is California Fish and Wildlife, I believe.
Yes, dfw.gov, .ca.gov, something like that.
Just
Google it.
Just Google it, you'll find it. Okay, so
we also have that on our website. We'll have a link to that place.
But the town itself isn't involved in the permitting process. That is all the state.
That's correct.
Okay, does the state give you guidelines on how to handle it, or is it, we'll take it from here, thank you very much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing that have come up here in the area is some projects. We talked about those. But I said something about whimsy the other day to you guys, and we were talking about some stuff here at the radio station. But Yucca Valley is getting a little more artistic. There's a, I'm really I'm really intrigued by the project you have to have artists come and paint the utility boxes. Can you explain that to me, Rick?
Well, thanks for noticing. You know, I've seen it in other communities where a lot of times some of these utility boxes are neglected. They may be faded.
And that's a metal damaged box that sits on the highway that's got the phone or electrical in it.
Looks very commercialized, very industrial. And this is an opportunity in the communities I've noticed when they are touched by our artists, they're made more beautiful to match the scenery or some kind of artwork. They tend to be better cared for, and they tend to not be a subject of vandalism and graffiti as often. So that's nice. So staff was asked to go and put this in as a component. We have a much larger project, which is a beautification project for the highway and the surrounding roads.
Art in daily lives. I was going to get to that, too.
Yeah.
So,
that was kind of the component. And Curtis can talk about how people can, you know, get involved.
Yeah, there's the town council provided direction to the PRCC, our public art, Commission for Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Commission, to establish a public art program. So the utility box beautification is one of three elements that we have moving forward. The first, interestingly, is art in public places, and it is debuting tonight at the Yucca Valley Film Festival. It's going to be in the courtyard of the Yucca Valley Film Festival. We did a call for artists. We got different proposals, and we have an artist exhibit in that area. So that's the first element. Second element will be at the intersection of 247 and 62. During the month of December, we have a Christmas tree that's out there in front of the library. It's on a pad. When that's removed in January, that will also be now another identified place for public art. And so we did a call for artists. The PRCC just this week identified a proposal that they're comfortable with, and that will be open for public comment. You can go to our town website, yucca-valley.org, click on the box that says public art, and you'll be able to find out all of the information. And then the third element is our utility box. We don't know whether yet this is going to be painted or a wrap, depending on the utility company's regulations for what they want to see on their boxes. They're not our boxes, obviously. So we have to have permission from whether it's Edison, Spectrum, or whoever owns that box.
I've seen it done in other municipalities, and people come up with some great ideas.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of fun. So a little whimsy coming into the town of Yucca Valley. I know you started a new program called Art in Daily Lives, and this is all part of that?
It is.
It is.
And it's been something that the council has talked about for a long time. And I clearly remember a discussion one time with Council Member Abel about wanting to put art in public places. Now, I'm not the most artful guy, but we're all in agreement that it does make a more beautiful town. And that has really taken it's gone this whole path. And I'd say probably the last 5 or 6 years we've been talking about it, and it's finally come to a point where we have a plan, we're implementing the plan, and I think it's going to be nice.
Okay, we're going to take a quick little break, talk more about the town of Yucca Valley with the town manager, Curtis Yakima, and Mayor Rick Dennison. Our number is 760-366-8471. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and we will be right back.
A trip to the pharmacy should be easy. That's why so many people choose a local community pharmacy instead of a big chain, like Star Pharmacy in Joshua Tree. It's easy to get in and get out with your medications, and they offer one-on-one health-related advice. They get to know their customers and can help manage medications and check for any interactions. Star Pharmacy offers a wide range of over-the-counter supplements, plus durable medical equipment like walkers and wheelchairs. Star Pharmacy, Holly Road, across from the post office, Joshua Tree.
It's flu season. Flu vaccination is an important preventative tool for all, especially those with chronic health conditions. The flu vaccine prevents illnesses, medical hospitalizations, and death. Get your flu shot now to protect your health. Call the Morongo Basin Community Health Center today to schedule your appointment. 760-365-9305. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Healthcare District.
treat your taste buds to the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich, back for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Slow smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and sweet and tangy slaw on a toasted King's Hawaiian roll. Make it a meal by pairing it with their new tropical cherry limeade, a blend of pineapple and cherry with a squeeze of fresh lime. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide much-needed life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
This November, Tortoise Rock Casino says thank you to all service members with back-to-back nights of live music and barbecue. Friday, November 10th, we say happy birthday to the Marine Corps with Toby, playing your favorite Toby Keith hits. And then join us on Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th, as Garth Live takes the stage. The smoker is still cooking up ribs and chicken before the free outdoor show. Grab some food and rock with us. Show start at 8 p.m. Veterans, make sure to grab your $10 free play on the 10th, 11th, plus every Monday. Visit the Players Club with your military ID to redeem. Tortoise Rock Casino, this place rocks.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show on this Friday, November 10th, 2023, a brisk but beautiful desert day. Our guest in studio today is Town Manager Curtis Yakuba and Mayor Rick Dennison from the town of Yucca Valley. We have a person on the phone. Let's go right to it. And Bernadette, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a follow-up question regarding the Joshua trees.
Okay.
I was hoping that they would have an idea of the timeline of, you know, applying for a permit and action taken on the permit.
Okay, so yeah, we talked about the approximate cost and how we go about it. What is the permitting time right now, or is it still a changing target?
So from our understanding, if it is something that's imminent, such as needing to be trimmed, because if it's a danger or a fallen tree or if it's leaning against your house, the department has 10 days in order to respond and provide you direction. So that's for a state agency, that's pretty quick. On a regular take permit for a project, again, I don't know the exact time frame. I'm thinking it's going to take somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks to get through that process, but that may be plus or minus.
All right, Bernadette, does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day. 760-366-8471. We've heard from a few folks today with some good questions.
Yeah, I'm glad they're calling.
Well, a big controversy, not necessarily in Yucca Valley, but of course something that affects Joshua Tree, Torn Palms is wrestling with it, is the presence of vacation home rentals in neighborhoods. I know Yucca Valley had an adjustment period as it hit everywhere. It also hit Yucca Valley. What is the current status now of the vacation home rentals in the town of Yucca Valley, in your town limits?
I guess if there was one word, I would maybe characterize it as moderating. And it's still a priority. In our community livability survey that we just completed, that's still a priority for the public, is for the town to ensure that we're doing our job to regulate and monitor short-term vacation rentals while still providing opportunities for people to either offer their home as a rental or having visitation into the area. We capped our a number of short-term vacation rentals at 10% of housing stock, which is somewhere around 700.
Savings in 29 Palms at 10%.
Yeah. And we were bouncing around 750 for a while. The trend over the last 8 to 10 months has been downward. And so I believe we're somewhere around 690, 700 permits, and maybe even some of those just have not come up for renewal yet and may be dropping off. And so what we're seeing is a transition of some of those short-term vacation rental homes back to either long-term rentals or going out back onto the market as for sale, which I think in some ways is a good thing for the community to find that equilibrium so that those that are running a vacation rental can be profitable as well.
I had a couple members of the local real estate community in a few months ago, and that's one of the things they are mirroring what you said, is that when the boom hit for vacation home rentals, the pendulum swung way over to everybody jumping into it as an income source for the property. But now that pendulum is coming back. People who have Airbnbs are discovering now that they can have more long-term income from a long-term rental than the expense and work of a a short-term rental because they've got to have cleaners and all that stuff.
It's a lot of work. People may not realize it at first of how much work it is. And what we're being able to observe is that the ones that are successful typically are kind of in unique locations. They offer unique service or unique type of home experience. And so those are typically doing pretty well. The ones that are a little bit more common or in routine neighborhoods are struggling a little bit more.
I was talking to a gentleman who has a number of Airbnbs in the Indian Cove area, which is where I live in 29 Palms. And he said what is happening is people are looking for the unusual, the special, the spectacular. And a normal two-bedroom house in a neighborhood is not attractive anymore to the visitors.
Yeah. And we're seeing that also, you know, like you said, those places that are unique definitely show the desert lifestyle and creation. They're more popular. But I want to say the community was great. As it started to peak, we had a lot of disruption in our town, a lot of complaints from, community members. And that was really the springboard for us to jump into action, look at, again, the development code and how we manage those programs and putting in better enforcement, setting caps on the amount of them that are out there. Now, as Curtis said, we're down to about 500, so we've lost, about 50% of those numbers. And I have not received any complaints in the last probably year and a half of a short-term vacation rental usage in our community, and that's good.
But the significant thing about that pendulum swing is now more available single-family homes in the town of Yucca Valley.
And I think that's appropriate. The ones that are well-capitalized and managed well, they're not a disruption. They're run, they're businesses, and they're very successful in that area. And the rest of them that were there during that swell and that peak, they're falling off, and they're moving those properties back into the market or using them as long-term rentals. And both of those are good for us.
Now, because there's more availability for housing now than there was, say, a year ago, is that changing the cost of homes? Is it adjusting?
It is.
Is the market adjusting?
It is, slowly, but it is, as well as a number of other things. You know, there's a lot of other factors that go into that. But our community has told us through our survey and other instruments that housing affordability is still an issue, and it's still important for the residents. And so we're starting to see that home prices are coming down. There are more homes on the market, definitely. And then, of course, there are other external factors that affect that, like interest rates and financing, things that are outside of the town's control. But ultimately, I think that there will be the right balance. And the beauty of some of these short-term vacation rentals coming back onto the market, either as long-term rentals or homes for sale, is that many of them have been upgraded, fixed. They look much better than they did previously to being acquired as a STVR. And so I think that side of it for the new resident or the new tenant is terrific.
So would it be safe to say that the real estate market is kind of self-adjusting itself to the economy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
On that, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dignot. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and we'll be right back. And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. We go back to the phones and, Bernadette, I think she's right there. Hi, Bernadette, you're on the radio again. Your comment this morning.
It's a question, and thank you for taking my second call.
No problem.
This is regards to that feedback survey that the city did. Now, if I understood correctly, conservation was one of the top three things people were concerned about. Is that right? Did I hear that correctly?
They were concerned about keeping Yucca Valley as a safe, clean, and a small town feel. I mean, that's really an open space. That is important to residents, and they want to see that continued to have policies and regulations that support that.
Okay, Barnett?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, you've got some projects coming up in the town of Yucca Valley. Some of them are pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this one we've been working on actually for the last few years. We did a test project, and that was successful, and now we're looking to expand that. And I'll let Curtis talk about it. It's very exciting, I think, for our town and the basin as a whole.
You know, we had a number of people come to the Parks, Rec, and Cultural Commission, then ultimately the town council, and said, hey, we don't have anywhere to play pickleball in Yucca Valley, and we'd love to have a place to play pickleball. So One of the things that we did, it worked out great. We were in the middle of doing court resurfacing, so we took that as an opportunity to convert one of our courts at Jacobs. Regular tennis court turned into four pickleball courts. We said, the council said, hey, we don't like to take facilities away, so this you can do for a couple of years, but you better come up with a long-term solution if it's in demand. That pickleball court complex at Jacobs has been used almost every day and extensively, so we know that the sport is exploding.
There's now a pickleball league you can watch on television.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. So it's really, really, really neat. An amazing opportunity came up with Supervisor Rao's support in the County of San Bernardino to establish a regional pickleball facility. And so we're looking at the community center to put in anywhere from 12 to 16 courts.
Wow.
We had that on the council's agenda, a funding contract to provide funding for this effort. It's great. It provides funding, but the challenge for the town is it needs to be under contract by this time next year and delivered by 2026. And so we're under the gun to get this done. We're committed to make it happen. Super excited. The community's excited. It's going to be a terrific asset for Yucca Valley.
Okay, Rick,
and the entire basin.
You get this question, Rick. Okay. What is pickleball?
Well, you know, I've watched a few games. I don't understand all the technicalities of it. And I haven't played yet, I can honestly say.
Did you know there's a pickleball kitchen? I'm serious.
You're in my kitchen kind of thing?
Yes.
So, I'm just super excited that Supervisor Rao has done a lot of great things for our basin as a whole.
But is pickleball like tennis? Is it?
It's like a small court tennis, and it's almost like paddleball in a way.
Okay.
So it's a little bit shorter, and it can still be a high speed sport, but it's generally played more. Probably a cross between a low net badminton and paddleball.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is that anyone can play it, and that's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your physical ability, just the way that the court and the sport is designed.
So doddering old guys like Rick can play, and young kids can play.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we should get out there, Gary.
Yeah, we can both daughter. We can both do that, let me tell you. Any other cool projects coming up?
We have one other one that we're under design with right now, and that's modernizing our senior center. If you've been into our senior center, you know a lot of it is dated. The lobby is not very functional. The bathrooms are even less functional. And so, again, with the partnership of San Bernardino County made available through ARPA funds and the support of Supervisor Rao, we're going to modernize those bathrooms, the lobby area, make some facelift changes to the senior center. And again, that's under design right now, needs to be complete by 26.
And when's our aquatic center? When can we start swimming?
We are going to be back. We had our first round of bidding. We got one bid that we didn't feel comfortable with, only one bid. So we're going to go back out, open it up a little bit more. We're going to have that bid come back probably shortly after the first of the year. Hopefully we get what we want to see there and move that forward soon.
Perfect. Thank you. Curtis Yakima, town manager, thank you. Rick Dennison, mayor for town of Yucca Valley, thank you both for coming in. I'm going to be taking a couple weeks off. We'll be back on December 1st with Supervisor Don Rao. Until then, thanks for listening. God bless.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Up Close, a weekly talk and interview program presented in the public interest by Z1077 News. Join Gary Denyeau again next Friday at 10 for more Up Close.